This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
And the Oscar goes to The Shape of Water.
Parasite.
Nomadland. Okay, Coda.
Hello and welcome to Step and Repeat, a weekly movies and awards show podcast by your two neighborhood-friendly film buffs. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome to our Oscars predictions episode. My favorite episode. I know.
Excited. I've been looking forward to this one for a while.
Hey, yes, this is so thrilling because if this is your first time listening to our Oscar predictions episode, we're going to go through every single category, all 23 of them, I think there are now, and we will say who will win and who should win. So you get to hear our opinions and your best bets to win your Oscar pools.
Yes. And we're going to have one ourselves, too. So I'm using your expertise for my pool. And I hope you use my expertise for your pool. But I guarantee you probably will not.
Well, go back. Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I think the biggest thing about this year is that it is really unpredictable this year.
It's crazy. I can't pick.
There are multiple categories where there are three contenders, and usually if it's a competitive category, it's like between one or two. Now we're expanding that, so it can go a lot of ways.
And honestly, like, there are some categories where I'm still like, in today's episode, it's going to be a game time decision.
So, I'm not confident in a lot of these.
I'm not confident at all.
There are only like maybe two or three where I'm like 100% yes, that's happening. And then the rest are a little more up in the air.
Yep. That's about where I am too. So,
but it's still really fun to predict.
It's fun. It actually, it makes it, I think, you know, there's not the certainty there. It makes it a little more fun.
Yeah. So to your point of whether we'll take from each other, you could talk me out of some of these predictions that I've made. Right. I could talk you out.
Probably will.
Since there are so many categories, 23, we will give ourselves 90 seconds for the quote-unquote below the line or the crafts categories, and then for above the line, acting, directing, screenplay, picture, we will give ourselves 2 minutes to debate. And we'll just briefly say each of us who will win and who should win, or at least who we would vote for. And we're splitting them up into tranches just to kind of keep things organized. So keep things thematic, at least. You'll kind of like especially see in the crafts categories, like how we split them up. Like, I think it's easiest to do it by like sight, sound, touch, feel. It's the best way to do it. But like, it's all together. This is only organizational.
We'll have fun with it.
Yes, this is my favorite episode. It goes by so, so quickly. I like listening back to our old predictions and how wrong we were, how young we were. So we'll get to do that very shortly because the Oscars are on March 12th and we're
recording tomorrow.
Right before.
I cannot believe it's already here.
I know. I'm excited and ready to be over at the same time.
And it's like for weeks I've been like, oh, I've got all these weeks to catch up on it. And sure enough, like now it's tomorrow. I'm like, oh, good job. So, but I think I've gotten to where I was intending to be the whole time. So
good. All right. Well, shall we kick things off? Get going.
Ready to go.
So per precedent of the last couple predictions episodes we did, you went first. So I will give you the option of if you want to continue tradition and go first, or if you want to defer and allow me.
I'll defer to you this time.
Whoa, switching things up.
Yes,
it's a new year.
It's an honor to hand it off to you this year.
Okay, so I'll kick things off then. So our first tranche is going to be the shorts categories, which are the hardest to predict. So that's why they are up first. So we'll start with the animated short category and put 90 seconds on the clock. I've got it, but yeah,
I'll put mine on too.
Yeah, we should have probably figured this one out, who's recording who, ahead of time. Okay, so in 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, animated short. I think The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse will win, and I think Ice Merchants should win.
Okay. So for me, I think The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse should win. I think my Year of Dicks. Sorry, I think it will win. I think my Year of Dicks should win. I really messed that up.
my Year of Dicks is second for both. I think it could win, and I would be okay with it, or very okay with it winning. I think there are four shorts that I really, really love, and two of them are animated, and it's Ice Merchants and my Year of Dicks.
Okay. Go ahead.
Wait, we both think The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. I almost always almost always say The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Hole.
BMFH. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I don't like that movie. But it's available. It's pretty. It's a very pretty movie. It's a kids movie. You can see it on Apple Plus. J.J. Abrams produced it. It has like a lot of voice actors, like Idris Elba. I think Gabriel Byrne is in there. So it's like very star studded, available. But like, it's very like Facebook mommy. It's just like bad. Bad lifeisms, so I don't really like it, but I think star power. Don't bet it against the star power.
Yep.
Ooh,
okay, 90 seconds.
I know, it's so fast. It's so fast.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so I guess for me, I will say these are. I did enjoy both of these two movies. BMFH, not my favorite, but I'm choosing it because it's the track record. It's won the BAFTA and all the awards. It's already, so it's a shoo-in for the Oscars for me. But I did prefer my Year of Dicks. I thought at first I was a little like, you know, annoyed by the animation. But then got used to it, I liked it and I really enjoyed the story. It reminded me of a lot of Pen 15 show.
Oh, right. Yeah, you and I yeah, both love. You're right.
That's why I like it. So that's and I'll piggyback off of everything else you said. So
For time purposes, we'll do 90 seconds for all of us, because otherwise it'll be like a 3-hour episode.
Okay.
So we'll move on to documentary short. So for this one, you go first. All right, starting the clock now.
Who will win? I think it's going to be The Elephant Whisperers. And who should win? I also think The Elephant Whisperers.
For who will win, I have The Elephant Whisperers, and who should win, Haul Out. Haul Out is my absolute favorite of every single one of these. I almost don't want to spoil it. Have you seen Haul Out yet?
I have not, no.
Okay, I won't. I don't want to spoil it. It's just, there is a moment that is just like so shocking. It was jaw-droppingly good, and it's just incredible. It's like beautiful, incredible, great message. Haul Out is just my favorite of all the shorts.
One I haven't seen.
So the one other thing I want to say real quick, a lot of these are available to watch online. Like, there are two that are like available on the New Yorker and two available on Netflix. Like, it's, these are very accessible, and Hall Out's on the New Yorker.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Then I will, that's what, yeah, I'm doing right after this. yeah. And, I saw The Elephant Whisperers. I actually, I'm not gonna lie, I saw two in this category. I saw The Elephant Whisperers, which I enjoyed. And then the other one I saw was The Martha Mitchell Effect, which I did not like at all. So that's honestly, that's why I think it will win Anne Schulman.
Spoiler.
I really want to see Hall Out.
Yeah. Spoiler, Stranger at the Gate. Malala is a producer, but that movie also sucks.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. Oh, my God.
I forgot the time is.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay.
So fast.
Live action short.
Okay. All right. So live action short. Here we go. I'll go first. This one's easy for me. For who will win and who should win, Les Pupilles.
I agree.
Yeah. So the really cynical thing that I am this close to predicting for all the shorts is, like, just go with the celebrity on all of them. And
exactly,
Alfonso Cuarón is a producer on Les Pupilles. He's not the director, but he has his name attached, and he would win the, he would take home another trophy if they do that. So my really cynical one is, like, it's possible that Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse, Elephant, or Stranger at the Gate, and Les Pupilles, like, all win. But I don't know. I may end up changing some of those. But I don't know. Les Pupilles is really cute. It's in Italy, and during World War II, kind of reminds me of The Sound of Music in some ways, weirdly, because it involves, like, nuns and, like, very strict nuns and, like, precocious kids. And I had a cute time with it. I really like it. The other ones I was mixed to negative on.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It was Les Pupilles is cute. It's a movie for everyone. It's got the power of Alfonso Cuarón behind it, and everything else is just kind of but I do think An Irish Goodbye might be waiting in the wings as a silent killer, so we'll see.
It is the only one that's in the English language, An Irish Goodbye. Yes.
And this is the year of Ireland, so
yeah but the other ones are that's all European. Every single one's European. It's weird.
Yep. All right, well, moving on. Trench 2, best sound. Let me here.
The Trench is, like, audio technicals. So yes. Sound is gonna be our first one.
Yes. All right. So in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So what I think will win is Top Gun Maverick, and what I think should win is Top Gun Maverick. Go ahead.
Ditto. Yeah.
I think this is a very tight category. I think All Quiet is going to give it a run for its money. And I mean, there's Elvis behind it, which is the big musical movie. But yeah, I think, you know, this one is another three-way race for me, but I think Top Gun right now is the number one contender.
Planes make noise. So like that, it's, I think it's like as simple as that. And this is a like sort of strange category though, because if you have other alternates of All Quiet on the Western Front, a war movie, Bang Bang, and Elvis, which obviously has musical elements too. So those are my two alternates, but I think without getting ahead of myself, this is the only one that I'm predicting Top Gun Maverick to win. And yes. I think they want to give it somewhere. And this is an obvious place to do it.
Yeah, and we only have 10 seconds left, but I also want to shout out Avatar, which I think had some of the best sound in a movie theater I've ever heard.
The Way of the Water.
Wait, okay. And 3, 2, 1. All right, next category.
Ahead of schedule. Okay.
I hate that noise.
Yeah, it's PTSD for sure.
Every morning.
Yeah. Okay. And we're on to original score. Okay. I'll go. Who will win All Quiet on the Western Front, and who should win Babylon?
Who should and will win for me is Babylon.
Babylon's my alternate. My second alternate. Here is where, okay, this is going to be the theme of the episode. It's, for me, it's like All Quiet on the Western Front and Everything Everywhere All at Once. And of the night, it depends on how much they love both of those. And this is the only category other than Best Picture that they're up against each other. And I think All Quiet on the Western Front has like a big edge there. Like its score is very like loud. It's very obvious. And that's like the part where I think it will win. And it's nominated for Best Picture. Babylon is not. But if the Academy really, really, really loves Everything Everywhere All at Once and this wins there kind of almost randomly, then like that is a signal that they a sweep.
Yeah.
For Everything Everywhere.
Yeah. I also think let us not forget also John Williams, who did the Fablemans as well. I also think that's a also waiting in the wings there to take it. But I think Hollywood loves Justin Hurwitz, and I'm convinced Babylon's gonna take this one. So we'll see. That was all right. Next up, makeup and hair styling.
You skipped over song.
Oh my god! Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, I did. You're so right. God, I don't want to do this one.
This one's easy for me.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. I will start the clock here. I think what should win is Lift Me Up by Rihanna, but I think what will win is Natu Natu from RRR.
I have Natu Natu will win and Natu Natu should win. I like the fact that Natu Natu is a part of the movie and it like kind of like represents the movie as a whole, and it takes place like during the movie, whereas most of these others are all credit songs. The only other one is Applause, like Talk Like a Woman, but don't even want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Yeah.
We need a whole other episode for that one.
And so like Natu Natu is part of RR, and it's so unclear like how it's going to be performed on the show, but I hope we get to like a big song and dance number.
Oh, I'm sure we will. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Lift Me Up. I tear up every time I hear it. I just think it's such a good song. Natu Natu is fine. I haven't seen all of RRR, so I don't have the appreciation like you do seeing it in the movie. But as far as like strictly as the song goes, I prefer Lift Me Up, but I do think Natu Natu will win.
I have Lift Me Up as a spoiler though too. It's not out of the question that I think it could win.
Definitely not. Yeah. All right. Moving on to, let's not skip over categories anymore. Now makeup and hairstyling. You can start that one.
Yeah. Move on to the corporal technicals. So all things involving the body. this is the awkward tranche. But we're making do with it.
It's our awkward face.
Yeah. Okay. So best makeup and hairstyling. I think Elvis will win, and I think the Batman should win.
I actually 100% agree. I think Elvis will win, and I think the Batman should win.
This category is actually kind of sad. It's like the battle of the fat suits.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like literally three of the five nominees are fat suits. So it's like, who knows? This is, I think, what to watch out for Best Actor, frankly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because if the Whale takes it, I think that'll show a sign of strength for the Whale, where Brendan Fraser could win Best Actor. But they kind of made Austin Butler look more like Elvis. It's not just the fat suit. We talked about this in our Elvis episode. It's that only comes at the very end, so it's more than that. Which is why I think Elvis will take it. And they just like Elvis better. They're just right, got more nominees.
It's got more nominations. And it's not, and it's also not just Yeah, I mean, it is Elvis's fat suit, but it's also Tom Hanks's fat suit as well.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah, I forgot Tom Hanks was in that movie.
All right. Oh God, I can't stop this timer. Okay. What do we have next? We have costume design. Let me see here. All right. I think. Sorry. Give me 2 seconds here.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
My categories are all over the place. Okay, so I think for costume design, I think Elvis will win. I think Black Panther should win.
Ditto. I think, I feel like we've talked about this on some of our episodes. I think Black Panther, people really love Ruthie Carter for good reason, yeah. And her costumes are incredible. Like, especially at the beginning of Black Panther, at like T'Challa's funeral, like those costumes really stick out in my mind. I already forget the name of the villain and their the subgroup, the Atlantis people, basically.
Namor the Submariner.
Right, yeah. But like those, like, although the costumes, though, they stick out in my mind. I can picture exactly what they look like. And so I think that goes like a long way. But Ruthie Carter has won before, and the Academy hates sequels.
Right, exactly. Unfortunately, Black Panther did win costume design for the first one, and it would kind of be carrying over very similar costumes to the second movie, which is what will hurt it. But when I do think of costumes for this past year, Black Panther's like number one that sticks out in my head, in my mind. So, Ruthie Carter's just amazing. And I'm also not counting out Babylon for this one as well. Just because Hollywood loves Hollywood.
This one's an interesting one, but I think Elvis has got it.
Yeah. Okay, what's up next? Production design.
Ooh. All right, here we go. So I think All Quiet on the Western Front will win, and I think Babylon should win.
I think Babylon will win, and I think Babylon should win.
Babylon is my alternate for will win. This movie has gone to movies about Hollywood in the past recently. So Mank won production design, and I think maybe Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but some movie about making movies. And but like a lot of people just don't like Babylon. And I'm kind of like betting against Babylon, and I'm bullish on All Quiet on the Western Front, and this is one of the categories I'm really bullish on. I think the trenches in All Quiet will like end up standing out to folks, so that's kind of why I'm going with All Quiet. I think Elvis is a spoiler here too.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, my immediate thought from Babylon is for production design, it's I immediately think of Mank, and I think of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Hollywood loves movies about, especially like in terms of production design, and area and scenery, they love movies about Hollywood. So, and also I think it did have some of the best
real production. It's good. Design. It's really good.
It's great. I mean, it's great. Yeah. So, I think Babylon's going to shine in this category. I do love production design on Avatar, but that's mostly all digital. So that's why I'm not saying it's my favorite.
Okay. I know we're over time, but like, that's the thing. Like Avatar actually won this category, back in 2009. Right. And, but I think for whatever reason, people just now think of Avatar all visual effects and which is our next category. and so like, they've just kind of like written everything else off, all the other technical achievements, and they've all folded it into visual effects, which is disappointing, but not surprising.
Right. I totally agree.
That's a really good transition.
That's a very good transition into our next category, which is visual effects. I don't even need to start the timer here. Should win, will win Avatar for the next 10 years.
Right. Yeah. We don't like,
we don't need to even discuss this. We had a whole episode about it.
Yeah. And like everything that we just said, it all just like folds in. Everyone just kind of puts everything into the visual effects, which are demonstrably great. Even the people that don't like Avatar love the visual effects. Like this is a no-brainer. This is as close as a sure thing as you can get. And
I mean, if your visual effects alone are gonna make me cry, then you win in my book.
Yeah. We didn't even need to set the timer. That was just obvious.
Yeah, keep going.
and we're in the middle of our visual tranche right now, if you can't tell. So that takes us to cinematography. And I've already lost track of who went first.
I went first. You go first.
Okay. All right. So for cinematography, again, I'm bullish on All Quiet on the Western Front. I'm picking All Quiet. And this is a bonkers category. Should win. I'm going with Tar.
Wow. Okay. So for who will win, I actually think who should and will win is All Quiet on the Western Front. I thought All Quiet was just a beautifully shot movie. And I don't think any of the other ones even come close to the work they had that they did on All Quiet. I mean, granted, it's great work on all accounts, but I just think the All Quiet, from a cinematography standpoint, was just something else. So I think we're starting to get into the trenches now where All Quiet's going to start taking over.
Yeah, well, like I think Elvis is a spoiler here too. Mandy Walker won the Guild Awards for Elvis. So she could be the first woman to ever win this category. Only three women have ever been nominated, and they're all very recent. And so people have been beating the drum, and she's been out there, and like she's a real contender to win. So Mandy Walker for Elvis is my alternate.
Okay. Yeah. I think I've said this before in one of our previous episodes, very upset about Top Gun not getting a nomination here. I also thought Top Gun Maverick had beautiful cinematography.
Yeah, this is a strange category because like when I first like saw all the nominees, I was like, I honestly was like, I kind of think those are not good nominees. And that forced me to like kind of look at the movies differently, which I found like really interesting. And that's part of the reason why I'm picking Tar as my personal favorite, just because of like the brutalist way that they like use the camera in that. And like there's a really famous scene, like the Juilliard scene in Tar, which is like a 15-minute one take. It's just like incredible how they were able to pull that off. It's like the best scene in the movie. So things like that, but just like it made me, the weirdness, quote unquote, of the nominees made me look at these movies differently. And so I kind of appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do too. Yeah. I think all of them are actually very beautifully shot. And I did forget about that scene in Tar. But now that you remind me of it, I'm like, oh yeah, that was really great. So,
that's like exactly what I'm saying. So, yeah.
And I also like, I watched Bardo too, and I was not a fan of Bardo at all, but another very, very beautiful shot film.
Yeah. Like I kind of think all of these nominees are deserving.
Yeah. I kind of wouldn't be mad if anyone won.
So. Yeah. Even though I love like, all that said, retweet on the Top Gun Maverick. It's bonkers.
Retweet on the Top Gun Maverick. That's a minute 30. All right. So I guess moving on to our next category before the big tranches. Okay. So best editing. Let's see here. Best editing, I think everything everywhere all at once is going to win. It will take it, and for should win. See, this is another category. I just they're all fine. They're all good. I mean, I'll go with Everything Everywhere.
Yeah, this one's a no-brainer for me. Yeah. I think Everything Everywhere will and should win. That movie is editing. Like, there
is
so, like, going back and forth between all the multiverses and, like, keeping it a way that you can follow. And there are, like, a lot of very, very quick montages. And, like, that movie is entirely editing.
It's a lot of editing, yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked in the past about, like, the editing categories, the most edits.
This wins most edits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although this used to be correlate a lot with Best Picture, but the last movie to win Best Film Editing and Best Picture was Argo. So it's And so this is one thing against Everything Everywhere. All the other winners since Argo have either been action movies or musicals. So that's something in favor of Top Gun Maverick or Elvis. So
yeah exactly. No, I think Elvis too is a strong contender here, because I just think of all the, there's a lot of, again, speaking of montages and cuts and intertwining back and forth, and there's clearly a lot of editing work on Elvis as well, so I would not count Elvis out either.
Yeah this is like one of the ones where there are like three potentials, so
right. Yeah, and I also, again, another one I wouldn't count out 4 seconds ago is Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
Tactical movie.
Yeah, these are the only two, realistically, I think Top Gun Maverick could win this and Sound. Okay, shall we get to our specialty features tranche?
Yes, sounds good.
Okay, so first up, we've got the animated feature category. And again, I should really keep track of who went first, because I cannot keep these things going. I'll just go? I don't know.
Good, so,
sorry,
yeah,
if ahead. I
I'll defer to you.
Yeah.
You're good.
For this one, who will win and who should win? Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Very important that's in the title.
Yeah. So I know who will win is Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, and who should win, I mean, I wasn't really a fan of any of these movies, so let's just go with Pinocchio.
I actually would have used most of this time to shout out a really good series of articles on Vulture right now that has to do with the animated Oscar category. And they talk to a bunch of animators and basically how they don't get any respect in the Academy whatsoever. And it's really fascinating. And they all have very different views on this this category. And it's like truly fascinating. One of the things I didn't realize, since the inception of the category, which was for 2001, only two movies that have won have been non-3D featured. And those are one Miyazaki movie, I think it was probably Spirited Away, and the other one was like Wallace and Gromit. And so this year, if/when Pinocchio wins, that will be the third. So, but like, it's just like really fascinating how it's just like the sameness of it all, like this category is turned into. It's like basically turned into like the Disney Pixar category, right? And like all the other animators like get pushed aside. So so it could be, if/when Pinocchio wins, like it would be a step in the right direction for the art form. Sorry, I monopolized that entire 90 seconds. I just wanted to shout out that article.
Yeah, there you go. I'll check it out. I I'm not a fan of any of these movies, but I don't really want to use 90 seconds to bash movies, so we'll just move on to the next one. Documentary feature, which I think is probably one of the tightest races in the show tomorrow. So I'm still trying to figure out who's going to win. But again, this is one of my game time decision choices. I think who will win is going to be Navalny. And I think who should win is Fire of Love.
This one's really, really tough. I'm going. I'm
not confident at all.
Yeah, I'm going. Will win and should win. Navalny. I like all these movies. I think All the Beauty and the Bloodshed is another possibility. Laura Poitras, who has won this category before, is nominated for that, and like people really like Nan Golden. It's like a very political movie, but so is Navalny. And so like and Navalny has like a really, really like shocking scene. And if like if the international contingent, and this includes the US, frankly, like wants to stick it to Vladimir Putin and wants to give like the Russian opposition movie like a limelight, Navalny is the way to do that. And I think,
yeah.
So, and it's like, it's a thriller. It's like really good filmmaking. So that's part of the reason why I have it as my should win, but I also love Fire of Love. It's just more traditional. It's like about volcanoes, but I think about right. that movie all the time.
Yeah. And I'm as far as should win goes, I'm like in the middle. I'm going to finish this category tonight. I'm in the middle of Navalny. I finished Fire of Love. God. I love Fire of Love. Yeah. Glad you didn't spoil Navalny for me. Well, I know what happens, but but yeah, I'm loving Navalny so far. I think it's great. And I think for the reasons you just said, I think it's going to win. I thought All That Breathes was really, really boring. I heard A Housemaid of Splinters is really bad, and I still have not seen All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, but I will finish that hopefully tonight.
A Housemaid of Splinters is not bad. It is very sad. It is probably the saddest movie. It's about an orphanage, like kid's home, or a kid's home. It's not an orphanage technically in Ukraine. So it's like, it's really sad. If you don't like, if you don't like to watch movies about children in pain, don't watch A Housemaid of Splinters.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Moving on. International feature.
Yep.
Okay. Do you go first?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I can't keep up.
Yeah, right. I know. I can't either. Right.
The floor is yours.
Right. Will win easy, All Quiet on the Western Front. Should win. I actually like all of these movies to a certain extent, but my heart is with EO.
I knew you were gonna say that. EOI is one movie I haven't seen. I know I'm gonna love EO when I see it. I absolutely adore
Don't be so sure. I know like people who really don't like EO, but I love
really?
It. Okay. Yeah. But I really do.
Yeah. So I mean, three of these I haven't seen close: EO and The Quiet Girl. But I mean, who will win is All Quiet on the Western Front. I actually really like Argentina 1985. I thought it was really well done. But I will. Like,
oh, sorry. But, I keep interrupting. Go. Yeah.
But I think should win is going to, should be All Quiet on the Western Front. But again, like, that's very, very, very close for me. So, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. It's funny that, like, Argentina 1985, I really like. And it's, like, also probably my least favorite of them. Like, weirdly, if I had to rank, I would probably go one EO, two close. Three, The Quiet Girl. Sorry, I promise I'm not doing this intentionally because you haven't seen them. Four, All Quiet. Five, Argentina 1985. But I like them all to like varying degrees. This category's gotten a lot of flack. They think it's like a lot of cinephiles think it's like really basic, but I don't know. I like it. Speaking of sad movies, Close, oh my god, biggest tearjerker of all these movies.
I've heard. I'm not emotionally ready for that one.
It is so sad. It is like it. I was not prepared to cry that much during any movie. Like of all the movies this year, Close is the one I bawled during most. And I would be that's my backup after EO. It's a close second.
So we have 20 seconds, real quick. Short story. I am friends with a reporter that covered the trial in Argentina in 1985, and he said he was there in the room during the trial, and he said it was they captured it like exactly how it was, and he said it moved him to absolute tears, and he thought it was just so good. So that's like, it's kind of just hearing his story about it kind of like it really put into perspective for me about the movie, and I just have that much more appreciation for it. So anyway,
It's very good. It's
very good.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime Video. So it's like it's very accessible. Yeah. I like it, and I like Argentine movies. Yeah. Okay.
A screenplay.
Oh God, yeah, we are into the 2 minute category now. 2 minute categories, the above the line. So we're starting with the screenplays. So I think adapted screenplay up first.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You go first.
Oh, I go first. Oh boy.
Right.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay. So. Oh my God. Okay. I think for adapted. Sorry. I think Will Win is All Quiet on the Western Front. And I think should win. See, again, I don't know. I guess I like Glass Onion. It's between Glass Onion and Top Gun for me.
Yeah, I have All Quiet Will Win. I have Women Talking Should Win. This is a race between All Quiet and Women Talking, and it's just like a. This is one of my riskier picks. I have this. I just think voters know All Quiet on the Western Front is a book, and so like it's very easy for them to pick. They obviously like it to give it a lot of love elsewhere. This is the only other above the line nomination that it has, though. So that's like a part of the reason why it's risky. So Women Talking, the argument for that is Sarah Pauley has been nominated before in the screenplay category, and it does have a Best Picture nomination. So it's like, it's not as if people like don't like that movie. It's just not as strong. So like, this is why this is like a tough, tough category to predict.
Yeah. My close number two is Women Talking for Will Win, solely because they're, there is a lot of dialogue, and I think it's very well written. But you're right; she has an Oscar already.
No, well, she doesn't. She doesn't have an Oscar. She's just been nominated, so like she has the recognition. Like, so it's this is a tough one.
Yeah, we'll see. It's rough. But I mean, is like the screenplay category, is it comparable to like editing, whereas how much dialogue you have? And I mean, it is about, you know, women talking, but
or as Marky Mark would say, women are talking.
Women are talking.
I died. That was so funny.
Yeah. But I mean, again, this is a category where five very strong contenders. You know, we'll see. I would be happy if anyone.
We got the strong. This is actually, I think, a kind of weak category this year.
Really?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Adapted screenplay is razor thin.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think all the screenplays are great. Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on to original screenplay. So I'm going to here. I think who will and should win, and this is going to be a bold statement of me. Banshees.
I've who will win, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Who should win, Tar. Banshees is my alternate for both. This is the same thing as Best Director. It is the same nominees as Best Director, with the exception of Tony Kushner is nominated for The Fablemans alongside Steven Spielberg. But other than that, all five, same nominees. But like, people respect Martin McDonagh as a playwright. So like, that is a big reason why he like could have an edge up here. And like, while they would want to give him this, I think he would probably prefer director, honestly, but like, he'll take an Oscar no matter what. So like, I think that's a spoiler. I just think they like really love Everything Everywhere a lot. So that's why. And they tend to, like, in recent years, they kind of tend to give the screenplay to, like, the weird winner recently.
Yeah.
Like, think of Promising Young Woman or Jojo Rabbit or Get Out. Like, this kind of tends to fall this, so Everything Everywhere would fit that. It just also happens to be the best picture frontrunner.
Yeah. And I mean, my predictions are probably going to change tomorrow night. But right now my thinking is, you know, when it comes to Oscar voting, you know, oh, we're going to vote for the Daniels for director, but you know, Martin McDonagh, people do love Martin McDonagh, especially since he's been nominated twice before. And did he win? I think he won the BAFTA, right?
He won the BAFTA. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were going to say Oscar.
I think he won the BAFTA for this. And then, so I just think that award streak there, I think will hold up. But I mean, again, it'll probably change tomorrow. I'll probably change everything for her.
Yeah, I just think like the Everything Everywhere Love is so strong. Right. They Everything Everywhere won the WGA, but Banshees is ineligible there. So that's So okay. Yeah, tough category.
We're getting even tougher.
Yeah.
All right. Supporting actor.
Well, maybe not that tough. This is this one's easy at least. Supporting actor who will win, Ki Huy Quan, who should win, I would vote for Brian Tyree Henry for Causeway.
Okay. Who will win? I mean, Ki Huy Quan's gonna take it. Should win. I mean, again, I love all these performances. I personally would vote for I love Judd Hirsch in The Fabelmans. But I also really like Brendan Gleeson. I don't know, just pick one.
They're all very nice, likable for me.
They're like yeah, people. I mean like yeah. Personally should win. Judd Hirsch was my favorite, so I will go with Judd Hirsch. But yeah, who definitely will win is Ki Huy Quan. He's swept everything, so no.
With the exception of the BAFTA. The only thing he hasn't won is the BAFTA, and Barry Keoghan won that.
Yeah.
So but like I don't think that matters. I think
I don't think that's gonna hurt him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone loves Ki Huy Quan so much in this. And I think he's good. I think he's fine, but he just personally he wasn't my favorite of the five nominees here.
I'm so nervous. I really like Ki Huy Quan's performance, especially in the first like 30, 40 minutes or so. But like my one criticism, the criticism of Everything Everywhere is like I think it's philosophy is like kind of basic and like that falls on a thing. It's like nothing matters, so just be nice to people, and that falls on a like big monologue that Ki Huy Quan has to give, like, and I don't think that's his like strongest performance in that, and I really hope they don't use that as the Oscar clip, even though they probably will. So
Oscar clips.
Love yeah back. Yeah, and so like anyway, his performance in the like the first hour or so is like so manic. It's a lot of fun though. So it would be a deserving win. Yeah. Oh, I didn't mean to turn that into a what I don't like about that. Anyway, watch Causeway. Love that movie. I'm like one of four people who love it and saw it.
I saw it.
Yeah. So that's why Brian Tyree Henry's I think it's such a sad lived in performance, and I think it's just great.
Yeah, he's great. All right, supporting actress. So
oh god
yep. And you said they were easy. All right,
this isn't even my most stressful category.
I know.
And it's extraordinarily stressful.
Well, the floor is yours.
Oh god. We did kind of cover this a little bit in our Banshees episode. I landed on who will win, Carrie Condon, Banshees of Inisherin, who should win. I have Stephanie Hsu for Everything Everywhere, with Carrie Condon as a backup, as my should win.
I think who will win is all five of these nominees, and who should win is all five.
Yeah.
No, I think who will win, I think Jamie Lee Curtis is still going to win and should win. Actually, you and I both differ in this category very much. Should win is Angela Bassett, Black Panther.
I think there are three. It's either Carrie Condon, Jamie Lee Curtis, or Angela Bassett. And keep an eye on Stephanie Hsu. I think we can write off Hong Chau.
Yeah, we can write off Hong Chau.
Yeah,
she's number five.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I love everyone in this category. This category where again, I would love to give it to every person. Carrie Condon, like just blew me away in Banshees. I loved her so much. But Angela Bassett in Black Panther just put me in tears. I have not been in a movie in a long time. And I think she's very well deserved of this Oscar. I thought she was the front runner in the beginning. But slowly that's kind of faded over time. But I think she gave the performance of her career in Black Panther. She's just amazing. But I think with Jamie Lee Curtis's streak lately, I think she is definitely the one to take this.
I know, but it's like only one. It's like Bassett won the Golden Globe, Jamie Lee Curtis won the SAG, and Carrie Condon won the
BAFTA. That's the only one she needs to win.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's all over the place. You see, like, I think the international contingent will come out over that. Angela Bassett and Jamie Lee Curtis have the same narrative. It's like the same career achievement win. And so, like, that's why I think, I don't know, I just think Carrie Condon will come out ahead. I think it is a difference of, like, 15 votes, though. Like, it's going to be so close.
It'll be,
like,
very, very close, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be shocking. Like, no matter what, I'm going to be, like, off my seat, whoever wins this one.
I know, and it'll probably be early on, so.
This is the most interesting, the category, this category has been since Tilda Swinton won in 2007. And that was up against, like, Ruby Dee, Saoirse Ronan, Amy Ryan. That category was so competitive in 2007 where anything could have happened. And we're at this again. It's that level. It's exciting. It's exciting.
Well, speaking of being at that level, let's move on to Best Actor.
Weirdly, I'm not as stressed as this one, even though it could go one of three ways. I've solidly landed on who will win Austin Butler for Elvis, and who should win Colin Farrell for Banshees of Inisherin.
So just everyone note, he took my turn to go first.
I get
two in a row.
Yeah. My bad.
See, I don't know. I'm stuck in this one. I can't make a decision. My gut's telling me Austin Butler. My head is telling me Brendan Fraser, and my heart is telling me Colin Farrell.
That's a good analogy. Yeah.
But for this one, I've got to go with my gut. I think Austin Butler will take it. Should win Colin Farrell. We spent a whole episode on Banshees. I don't need to go into reasons again why I think Colin Farrell should win. I think there's just a lot of love there for Austin Butler, and I just don't know. I'm sort of stressed out about this category. I could cry. Yes. Okay.
I ultimately think the thing against Austin Butler is that, like, they typically don't give it to a young person. He would be the youngest winner. He would be the fifth youngest winner ever. Mm-hmm. The last time someone younger than Austin Butler is currently who won would have been Adrian Brody. So, like, we're going back 20 years.
But he's also a young actor who played
a real person. And that's the other thing. They freaking love biopics. Like, they love biopics. And he is one of, I think, two potential people to acting nominees who played a real person, the other one being Ana de Armas for Blonde, who's not winning. And so the only other time, like, that never happens. They always give it to, like, a real person. And so that's the other thing. And they love transformative performances. They love musical performances. Like, I understand that he's young, but, like, he's charming on the circuit. And so it's a tough one, though, because he didn't win the SAG. Fraser won the SAG.
Which is why, I mean, I that is the award to win.
And he has the narrative, the Hollywood comeback. Yeah.
Big comeback. Yeah. I mean, I've not counted out Brendan Fraser at all. And again, like, I think this is going to change, like, three more times until I finally put in my ballot tomorrow. Those three, I'm telling you, I'm really narrowing down to two now. But I think you're right. I think Colin Farrell has the international love. So,
But he
still not counting him out either.
But he didn't win the BAFTA. Awesome Butler won the BAFTA. Right, it's like right. It's so.
Ugh. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It'll come down to two tomorrow night. And I'll put a point. All right, director
Or actress. Oh my god, this is my.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, this one's easy. Okay.
Really? This is my most stressed of every single nominee.
Yes. I think yes. This is Michelle Yeoh's to lose. Yeah, Michelle Yeoh should and will.
I think Michelle Yeoh should win. I switched it last minute. I think Kate Blanchett's going to win.
So you think she's going to pull a Olivia Colman?
Well, Michelle Yeoh's theme has only been recent. It was, she won the SAG and she won the Indie Spirit Awards. And everything else Cate Blanchett won. And so the SAGs are very populist and like the Indie Spirits are basically just voted on by cinephiles. And so I understand like why she won both of them. A couple things I keep coming back to. What I just said about Austin Butler kind of also applies here to Cate Blanchett and Tar. And in the sense that people thought Lydia Tarr was a real person. She is not. She is not a real person. But like it was like a thing that people literally thought she was real. That's also another reason why I'm picking it in screenplay.
I left the theater to go Google who Lydia Tarr was.
Exactly. And so like the
should fact, I know this person?
Right. The fact that like it has that sort of impression, she's not, but like the fact that you leave that performance like thinking like she's real, like she convinces you she's a real person. There aren't that many performances that are like that. And another thing is like, I keep thinking of what's his name, Joaquin Phoenix and the Joker. It's like a similar sort of performance. Like, or I think she's better than that, but like nonetheless it's like a similar sort of mindset of this like iconic character that you're voting for. However, Cate Blanchett has won two Oscars, and like this is the problem. And the problem is like this performance is better than those two Oscars, and like Cate Blanchett is probably worthy of having three Oscars, and they like Tar enough to give it in, to nominate it in like cinematography and editing, which was unexpected. I don't know. Like, but the momentum is going with Michelle Yeoh.
I was reading an article yesterday, and I was reading an article yesterday, and someone had said that, Cate Blanchett could just walk in a room and win an Oscar, which is what's like, and his prediction is that that's what's deterring people from voting for her, and that Michelle Yeoh's got the momentum right now. She's got the drive, and she's got the popularity. And I think that with everything, she is the conversation right now. She is the zeitgeist, and I think that's what's going to put her over the top. Although I will say I absolutely adored Cate Blanchett and Tar. I adore Cate Blanchett and anything she does. You know, she could sit and talk to a wall, and I think she would deserve an Oscar. But I think this is Michelle Yeoh to lose. So
this is why it's 50. This is why it's my most stressed out category, is because with supporting actress and lead actor, it's three people that were like debating between. So I kind of expect the chaos here. It's one of two, and I'm like, oh god, I'd like flip a coin, and it could be either one, and that's what stresses me out the most.
Well, we will find out in about 30 hours.
Oh god, yeah. Right. Also, who do you think is presenting Best Actress? Because Will Smith isn't going to be there to present it. Yeah.
Oh, who was nominated last year? Yeah, that would be a slap in the face. I don't know. I didn't even read the presenters.
It could be someone who's not on like the presenter list too.
I'm going to just go out on a limb and say Willem Dafoe. I don't know. Sure. He's been big lately. So why not?
I want them to bring back the five previous winners to
Dominic. Oh, that would be good.
I love that so much. I wish they would do that every year. And but my other my head is saying probably like Tom Cruise. So I like he'll be there already from Top Gun. So
Oh, he will. The Scientologists are letting him out.
Yeah, I mean, he's a nominee for producing on Top Gun. So yeah, I think he's going. He went to the Academy luncheon, like for the nominee luncheon. So I don't know. I don't know. Apparently, the Academy CEO, I was listening to a podcast that he was on. He said he wouldn't say who was doing it, but he said, "quote unquote, it's good." And okay. I know. Of course, he has to say that. But so whoever presents it will be fascinating.
Okay, moving on to the last two.
Woo! These are actually a little less stressful. Well,
maybe for you.
Okay. All right. I forget who goes for director.
In a row. I get you in a row. Okay, directing. So I think who will win are the Daniels for Everything Everywhere, who I think should win. You're going to be surprised at this. Steven Spielberg.
Oh, I'm not surprised. At all. Yeah. who will win? I have Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert for Everything Everywhere. Who should win? This is where my love for Tar comes out. I've top field for Tar.
Yeah. Again, four of these five people I think deserve it. I give them. I'm not counting Triangle of Sadness. I did not like that movie. But Todd Field, Steven Spielberg, the Daniels, and Martin McDonagh, I think all very deserving. They all made incredible movies that really stood out this year. But I think I plucked Steven Spielberg just because I thought, you know, this is his passion project. He poured his heart and soul into The Fabelmans. It was a detailed look into his life that I know as a fan of Steven Spielberg myself, I wanted and I really enjoyed and I really appreciated everything he did for that movie.
It has fewer Oscars than you think. Like everyone just thinks he has like 80.
It has. Yes, he does. He has many fewer Oscars, which is also why I think, which is one of the reasons why I'm still not counting him out. He did win the Globe for directing.
Right. Yeah, I had to think about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm not counting that because he did win the Globe and he did win, and because this is again a narrative nomination. So he very well could pull the upset of the Daniels. I'm not counting him out at all.
Right. Yeah. So the thing with that is like, it's exactly that. Like, he was a like front runner for a little bit there. And then Daniels won the DGA and like the love for Everything Everywhere is just like so strong. But like when people think of The Fabelmans, they think of Steven Spielberg. Whereas like for something like Everything Everywhere, it's a little more spread. So, so that's where I think the potential for a quote unquote Spielberg upset.
The Fabelmans is Steven Spielberg's movie. You're right. So it's, I don't think I'm not 100% sure of the Daniels at all. It's more like 60-40, but
I know I say like everyone loves Everything Everywhere in the Academy, but no, that's not really the case. Like there are people who like think it's too weird and like it's not Academy friendly. The old guard, quote unquote, old guard people will definitely be voting for something like Spielberg over that. So like, That is where the path to victory is for him.
Yep. We will see. And also, I mean, my love for Martin McDonagh for Banshees. it's also a very close second for should win, but.
Right. And so for McDonagh, Field, and Ruben Östlund, like those are people who all like kind of got their start like in writing and want to be known as filmmakers. And frankly, I think there are things in all the movies. Like obviously I would do it for Tar or for Todd Field, but like there are cinematic things that are like in each one of those movies that I think like makes us, we should recognize them as directors and instead of just writers. So I am happy with their nominations, I don't think they have a shot in hell winning.
Right. Yeah. So, again, yeah, happy with 4 out of 5 of them. So, all right. Well, should we move on or
last category?
Last category. Boy. Okay.
Yes, we do this category last.
I know. Except if you're like the Oscars in 2020. Which my God. That was never. So weird.
Yeah.
Let's do Best Picture and then Best Actor. Because
I am. So given the slap, given that weird not presenting Best Picture last and then the awkward Anthony Hopkins thing, and given the La La Land Moonlight mix up, I am optimistic that this will be a good ceremony, at least.
It needs to be a good ceremony. The Oscars need this to be a good ceremony. They cannot F this up, or I don't know.
They have a TV producer producing this year, thank God, because like in the past they got like movie producers. So like they need people who can handle live moments. And
yes.
Like
exactly. Yes, thank you.
And that's why. Like that I'm optimistic. I mean, I might eat my words later on, but like I think they'll save Best Picture for last. And like it will be a smooth ceremony, all things considered.
All right. Well, that being said, moving on to the final category, Best Picture. Andrew, the floor is yours.
I'll go who I would give my vote to Tar, but I don't see how Everything Everywhere All at Once loses. It will win.
Yeah. This is ranked choice.
I know. Oh yeah, wow. Should we? I could if you want.
We'll come back to it. My number one would be Avatar. It was obviously my favorite movie of the year. Loved it, visually stunning, but my will win is All Quiet on the Western Front.
You're picking it. You're going deadline route. Okay. Yep. Explain your logic.
So my logic is, just like we've said, international love. I think I've said from the beginning that All Quiet is the silent killer waiting in the wings. I have never discounted All Quiet. It's got some of the most nominations of all the films. It's got the love of all the categories. And I, like you said earlier, I don't think Everything Everywhere is as loved as people are making it out to be. People think Everything Everywhere is just a shoo-in. I think some people are going to have not hate voting, but they're going to purposely put Everything Everywhere at the bottom just so it loses on purpose. I think people are frustrated with Everything Everywhere. I think some people are frustrated and they don't want it to win. And I think there is a genuine, general, silent consensus in the film industry that All Quiet was the best picture of the year, especially in the international fields. So that's why I'm going with All Quiet. I think it is the silent killer. I am probably wrong, but that is my choice.
Yeah. I'm going with Everything Everywhere because no film has ever lost the PGA, the DGA, the WGA, or no film has ever lost Best Picture while winning every single major guild award. Mm-hmm. And there have only been like 4 movies to even have pulled off that feat ever. And so Everything Everywhere is the 5th, and all the other 4 movies went on to win Best Picture. So that's like, I just think the love is so strong for that movie. And even in something like in SAG, it swept the SAG. It like swept the indie spirits. It's like, it's not just like how is like, do people kind of like this movie? Like they love this movie. Mm-hmm. And it's, so when all things are said and done, like I'm not picking Michelle Yeoh to win, I'm predicting Everything Everywhere to win 5, and I'm also predicting All Quiet to win 5. So I understand what you're thinking. I understand your level of thinking, and I think if there was like another week before nominations, All Quiet and Western Front would have gotten a Best Director nomination and could have won. So like, it's a major question mark. Is is All Quiet. But I just don't see how Everything Everywhere can lose right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, which, you know, I said I'm probably wrong.
You would win a lot of money.
That I would win a lot of money. Yeah. That's true. But yeah, we'll see. We'll find out tomorrow. I can't count out the BAFTA win for All Quiet. Find out. Who knows? I mean, Triangle of Sadness could end up winning. Who knows?
Literally forgot it's nominated.
I know, right? So,
well, we will see. I can't wait to watch.
We did it. Yes, and I'm probably going to change my pick at the very last minute. So, be on the lookout for that. Yep. I see it. All right. So, now that we're done with that, I guess we do we have something else to do?
No, we'll have a wrap up episode for sure. So stay tuned, listeners, as we finish out our Oscars mini series. Kind of take in everything that happened in the ceremony. It's, as we saw from last year, it could be unpredictable.
Yes. All right. Well, enjoy tomorrow's ceremony. And as always, follow us on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And let us know what you think of the show tomorrow night when you get the chance to watch. So until then, I think I speak for Andrew when I say that it's an honor just to be considered.